League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the killer bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Joel, you ever thought about having a different top of the hour intro for each hour of this program?
It doesn't matter what I think, because it's what Brendan says goes. So I've just learned that at a certain point, I'm really just spinning my wheels and wasting energy. But I think it would be all right.
Brendan, any thoughts on that? I mean, that's a direct personal shot right there.
It's also inaccurate. It's what I was told goes.
That's a fact.
Okay.
Do you guys have different top of the hour intros?
And here we go. Nah, we only get that a couple of different times, but not at the top of each hour. Yeah. BK, and for Jeremy Branham today, that's Joel. That's Brendan. We've got some news across the NFL, Joel.
Yes.
The Pittsburgh Steelers have finally hired a general manager. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize they still didn't have a GM. Kevin Colbert.
Well, he made it through the draft.
Previous GM basically did the entire offseason for the Steelers. He did the start of free agency. He did the draft. So
did a nice job, too, when you think about it, get a quarterback and do some of the things that they were able to do.
He got his choice of quarterback and waited very late in the first round to get him. And, yeah, I thought the Steelers had a pretty decent offseason. Of course, their big question is still at quarterback, trying to replace Ben Roethlisberger. But the Steelers have finally named a general manager. And his name is Omar Khan.
Yes, it is.
Does that name do anything for you, Joel?
It does, BK, because of Korn Ferry. Because of an organization that was selected and paid six figures to find candidates to be the next general manager of the Houston Texans, only to be shunned by one Jack Easterby while he hijacked a plane from Cal McNair and made Nick Caserio the new Houston Texas general manager.
I love this job, okay? Mm-hmm. There aren't a lot of jobs I would leave this job for. I think I'd leave this job for a job at Korn Ferry because those guys...
They get greased.
...get paid a ton of money to do these searches, and I feel like half the times, teams don't even use their work at all. They get paid a lot of money to not
do
a
lot. Don't.
The dumb ones don't.
Right.
And the Texans have been a dumb team.
They let Dr. Seuss come in the final hours and completely change the course of history by hiring his boy that's going to save his job instead of a guy that might save his franchise.
Mm-hmm. So Omar Khan got an interview with the Texans in January of 2021, and he ultimately did not get the job. Joel, you just laid it out perfectly. Nick Caserio ended up being hired as the GM, and, well, that was part of the start of the Deshaun Watson trade request. So think about where this franchise is. Think about all this franchise has been through over the last year and change. You can almost point back to the Texans ignoring Korn Ferry and ignoring Deshaun Watson and not giving him any say in the GM and head coaching hires to sort of describe the downfall and the turmoil that this team has been through over the last 14 to 15 months.
I think it's human nature, BK, but I think that now everything that goes on going forward between the Steelers and the Texans, there will be a closer microscope put to it. People are going to watch Nick Caserio. They're going to watch Omar Khan. They're going to start comparing and contrasting, and they're going to start thinking about what ifs. Because, look, this is not to take anything away from a guy that I think that has quietly started to really lay down the foundation to show that he had a plan for a franchise that looks like it's going in the right direction in Nick Caserio and the Houston Texans. However, you want to see what the guy that could have been the general manager of the Houston Texans had Jack Easterby not got involved. You want to see what he's going to do, too. You want to see the aggressive moves or the willingness to be aggressive, the willingness to, like, have an opinion and stick to it and make a tough decision that maybe the fan base or locker room may disagree with, and then see how it pans out.
Is it fair to compare Omar Khan in Pittsburgh to Nick Caserio in Houston?
Why would it be unfair?
because the Steelers are the Steelers and the Texans are the Texans. Like, the Steelers are one of the most well-run organizations in all of sports. They've had, like, three head coaches in the last 70 years or something ridiculous like that.
Right.
And they're seemingly always good, regardless of who's calling the shots up there. And the Texans have obviously had some good years, but we're talking about a franchise that's never been to a conference championship game. They obviously don't have the history the Steelers have, and they have not been nearly as well-run, even going before Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien and what they did to this franchise. I mean, this franchise has not been nearly as well run as the Pittsburgh Steelers. So when you look at the overall situation, I mean, Omar Khan is taking over for a team that made the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
They were the seventh seed, right, and they weren't that good, and they got crushed by the Chiefs in the first round. But they had a winning record. They made the postseason a year ago, and we all know the situation that Nick Caserio walked into. So is it fair? I know it's inevitable. It's like stalking your ex-girlfriend. You know, you don't want to, but you're always going to check in from time to time. Is it fair to really compare the jobs that these two GMs do because of the situations that they've been put in?
I think it is, simply because where the Steelers are currently is the situation the Texans are dealing with as well, like trying to replace a long, a franchise quarterback. Ben was there for a long time. Deshaun, not so long, but there was the guy that was believed to be your franchise quarterback of the here and now and the future. And then how they go about doing that. Like, the Steelers are a leg up because of the fact they still have a really good defense,
yeah,
right? They have a running back that is highly regarded that they drafted a year ago in the late first round. So you've got some pieces more than the Texans, but you also have some elements of similarities in which you're going to watch both teams try and go forward. And you're going to evaluate moves they make along the way. Is there a savvy trade or a big pickup that they did, a move they make that no one else sought to do? Like when Rick Smith, for all of his shortcomings, found Arian Foster.
Yeah.
Undrafted, turns out to be an all pro type running back. So you're going to watch those kind of things because that's the trajectory that you want to be on. Whichever guy would have taken you back to your heyday, whether it be the Texans and a 20-plus point lead against the Chiefs heading towards their first ever conference finals, there was a point in time where this team was winning division titles, getting to playoffs, and then had gotten further than they had ever been, and then fell off the planet. The Steelers, it wasn't quite the fall from grace, to your point, and Mike Tomlin has a lot to do with that as well. But now if you're the new guy replacing a guy that was part of the stability that kept the franchise where it was supposed to be, are you going to take it downward or upward? And people are going
to
watch.
Yeah, I'm going to compare Nick Caserio to Genghis Khan without question. But I'm going to give Khan a little bit of a head start, right?
Is like, Omar related to Shad?
Jags owner?
Shad, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying.
I don't know.
Because then they'd be Khanmen.
Well done there.
But sure. I'm just saying. I mean, they're both, it's spelled the same
way. Well, if he was, the Steelers would be screwed.
Good point.
And this is going to be the guy who can finally run the Steelers franchise into oblivion.
Is there another college coach that has no business being in the NFL that could be hired?
Tom Herman.
You want to see how I'm screwing up? Have Shad Khan fire Mike Tomlin.
And try Nick Saban again?
Yeah. I mean, whatever. I mean, look.
Dabo.
Shad Khan, whatever. But Omar Khan is at least the one thing coming into this that we didn't have the luxury of dealing with is you have an established head coach that's been there, done that, going to be there, and you ain't going to be criticized for having him around.
And the good news with Khan, from a Steelers perspective, is he's an internal hire. I mean, he's been with their organization for damn near two decades, so he knows how things operate in Pittsburgh. He would have been, obviously, an external hire for the Texans, but he's basically just getting promoted up there in Pittsburgh. It's fair to compare the guys, but I'm going to give Caserio a little bit of a head start. Maybe it's Khan who's getting the head start.
Yeah.
Like, I'll start comparing Caserio to Khan maybe next year and years beyond that. Like, the Steelers are going to be better than the Texans.
Roster-wise, the Steelers have a leg up.
Significant.
Right?
A significant leg up. So I think it'll take Nick Caserio a couple of years, maybe one to two more off seasons, to really build this roster to where it's on par to the roster that Khan is taking over in Pittsburgh. I think at that point, then it's really fair to compare the two guys because they should be on a more level playing field.
But I think that when you look at similarities, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster's not there anymore. They've had a track record of being able to find diamonds in the rough at the wide receiver position. They obviously constructed a really, really strong defense. But, you know, there's been pieces that have fallen off. There have been receivers, like I meant, Juju Smith-Schuster and others that have, and Antonio Brown, that have left. So, interesting to see how you take that next step if you're Omar Khan and say, how do I find the next guys? You know, because I got to believe that what they did with Omar Khan before they gave him the job is similar to what happened with Daryl Morey before he got the GM job. He shadowed Carroll Dawson for over a year, and he was in the draft room with Carroll Dawson when Carroll Dawson went through one more draft so he could learn how to matriculate through a draft. And then he was able to kind of reap the benefits. I think that helped. I think they knew all along who they were going to hire.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't need a corn fairy to tell them, right?
Right.
Or, you know, let alone the tooth fairy. I think that they looked under their pillow. They had the guy right into their in their own house. And they just decided, hey, let's take this, let's slow step this so that you learn the ropes. And our guy takes us through a very important draft.
Kyle McNair has basically been the tooth fairy because he's just handed money out left and right to everybody. Whether you're working here, whether you're not working here, he's kind of been that for the Texans the last couple of years.
We're a championship organization, BK, and we're just trying to do the right thing. Nick is the guy to take us to the next level, which is lefties, cheesesteaks, and some video games.
Thank you for joining us, Cal.
You're quite welcome.
Surprise appearance there.
Have you seen my wife? She's taking a nap.
Yeah. She's still sleeping, you think?
Depends.
Mm. What do you think of pocket-sized Pickett?
I don't care about his hand size.
Okay.
I think that, like you said, the most important thing was they got their pick of all the quarterbacks in the draft. They got a guy that essentially knows the stadium. It's not, and they know, they saw more than most, because we see this a lot. Look at what the Texans draft was like in terms of drafting local kids, and whether high school or college, they've seen a lot of these guys. A lot of times that gives them something, a leg up in terms of evaluating the talent. I think that the Steelers were always rumored, if he was there, to be the perfect fit for Pickett. I think he kind of, aside from his hand size, he's kind of a Ben Roethlisberger type guy. He's a bigger type quarterback. You know, he can run probably better than Ben, but if he can throw it anywhere close to similar, you know, I think that the system is perfect for him to fit right in.
If I gave you the choice right now, Davis Mills or Kenny Pickett, who would you go with?
It's going to be unpopular, but I'm going to take Kenny Pickett.
Okay. His first round pick, first quarterback off the board this year. Davis Mills, third round pick, eighth quarterback off the board. Obviously different QB classes. But
because I've been one that's been a staunch guy all along that said, hey, look, you took a guy in the third round that was rumored to be a first round pick. Had he stayed at Stanford another year, so then who would you take?
Tiny hands.
See?
Yeah.
It's close. Just think that there's I just see more upside in terms of where the ball is placed and some of the things he's able to, and he can run a little bit. But that's not to knock Davis Mills.
No, I'm with you. We'll take your thoughts, 713-780-ESPN. If you want to call in, if you want to text in. The Steelers have hired Omar Khan as their GM. Why is that relevant to the Texans? Well, the Texans interviewed Omar Khan, and he was recommended by the Corn Ferry search firm that the Texans hired a couple of years ago before they ultimately ended up with Nick Caserio as the GM. When we come back, more Texans conversation. It appears that there's more buy-in from the guys at OTAs this year than there was last year. Why? We answer that question next on the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, right now, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, I've been telling you about them for quite a while now. The bottom line is you're not trying to win an Olympic gold medal. You're trying to win the day. In order to win the day, you need energy. You need all those different things that you had at one point in your life that you might not have as much of right now. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, you have got to make sure that you realize there are people out there that can help you if you're not getting it done the way you used to and you want to have some more fun in your life. That starts with the people at Apollo Men's Health. They are those people. They care about their patients. They get you results because they realize your health is your wealth and you got to invest in yourself. Just like you invest in the stock market and make investments from a financial perspective, invest in yourself by your health because it is the most important thing that you can do in your life for your life. They take care of you every step of the way. It could be a workout program and you start with a full body composition analysis. Or maybe you have been working out and you're sore and you can't get rid of that feeling and you need help. And maybe HGH peptide therapy is the answer for you. You want that energy back in your life from B12 shots to all the different hormone therapy for both men and for women. They have answers to your issues. Check them out today. Go to ApolloMH.com. When you do, you're going to find out that you should set up that first appointment right there online. And as you go through the steps, you're going to also find out that most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. So there's really no excuse why you shouldn't be the next customer that goes there as a patient and gets the results that people need. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. You'll get a free B12 shot or a body composition analysis on your first official visit. But more so than that, you'll get people that help you get going in the right direction. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Man.
Yes.
I don't like how I look.
It's a little late for that.
I know.
There's no turning back now.
Can Apollo Men's Health help me out with that?
Doc Linville probably can.
Yeah, the hair is fine.
No, Doc Linville does more than hair.
Oh, he can give me breasts.
He could give you moves. He could give you a lot of different things in your life.
That would maybe help.
There you go.
I mean, I'm just looking at the Twitch right now, and normally it's zoomed out a little bit more for me.
You look like a coach at the Little League World Series. You have the same golf shirt and hat color combination. You look like you're representing the Northeast in the Little League World Series. You're at third base right now telling Skippy to keep his head in there.
Skippy? I thought I was Skippy. I'm the manager.
Well, you're the manager. It doesn't, but okay.
Skippy Jr.?
You're telling little Tommy to, like, stop backing out. Hit your pitch.
That is so insulting, and I'll tell you why. The Little League World Series is my least favorite sporting event of the year.
Why?
And it's not close.
Why?
Those kids are terrible, man. They're just not good.
Like,
I can just go around and watch any youth baseball game here in Houston, and the kids will be better. And they're playing on like 60-foot base paths. Come on, dude. When I was that age, I was playing on 80 to 90. What's the deal here?
Who was the first of all? You don't need Danny El Monte. There's always like three kids per Little League World Series that are like the offspring of a major leaguer or something like that, that just come in and they're like 10 times better than everybody else.
And they're also 10 times older than everybody else.
Occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so be it. Sometimes a girl can do it too. And then she goes on to softball scholarships and broadcast careers.
Yeah.
But it's fun, man. It's about the fun of the game.
That ain't fun.
You called it the worst sporting event
of the year.
Of the year.
Yeah, it's my least favorite sporting
Cornhole?
Happening. Bag toss is what we call it. And that's not a sport. That's a game. It's a recreational
curling?
Game. Oh, curling's awesome. We'll be knocking curling here, dude.
Where's the bat? I need to drop it on the desk right about now.
Plus, how often do we watch curling? It's every 4 years. It's not something that we're forced to watch every year, like the Little League World Series. I mean, it just takes over ESPN for 2 months.
I'm trying to think of the worst sport. Brendan, come on. The worst sports on TV during the year, and you're going to tell me that the Little League World Series is worse?
It's kids, man.
What about the Ocho? Anything that was on the ESPN Ocho, like dodgeball?
How about, I don't know that you see this anymore, but back in the day, ESPN2 like used to run like strongman competitions.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like lumberjack competitions.
More entertaining.
Or how about, have you seen like slap fighting?
That doesn't sound like a sport, but I have not.
It doesn't sound comfortable either. Have you ever seen Slap Fest? Like, was it Jim Rome or somebody started that? And then local radio stations and nationals have a slap fest where you just alternate taking your best open-handed shot at the other guy.
What I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds more entertaining than the Little League World Series.
It's borderline MMA-ish at the end, the way guys get the wind up and get into it, and guys are like taking like full-blown gourd shots.
It's assault, brother.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
Man.
There has to be worse sport. How can you feel? Like, do you feel that way, Brendan? I'm entertained by the Little League World Series.
Honestly, yeah.
Are you? Or
I am.
Just like feel the need to be entertained because it's little kids and now we're supporting youth sports.
I like it because you look at like where the sport is going. You look at some of these kids and say at their age, the plays they're able to make. I like the interviews to hear what their favorite, who their players are and their, you know, those kind of things. But the fact that it's a big stage for young kids as they love the sport of baseball, I got no problem with it.
So I don't know that people really do this anymore. I certainly don't. I did enjoy it back when you used to just channel surf trying to find anything to watch. It was a good fallback for something like that.
Hmm.
I haven't channel surfed in a decade, though.
Those kids
Little League World Series or the hot dog eating competition?
Hot dog eating competition. No question. That's must-see TV.
You talk about a ringer. You know who's going to win every year.
And he delivers every year. He breaks his own record. He's the best in the world at what he does. Okay? Little League baseball players aren't the best in the world at
For
what
while,
they do. It's why we like Major
Kobayashi
League Baseball. He
would like to have a word, but then that word went by the wayside.
Yeah, he's gone.
He's kind of like, no one can be a power eater shaped like you.
Mm, no. Those kids just aren't even good, man.
They're
just not good. I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, even horse racing to me is like, I'd rather watch the Little League World Series.
Best horses in the world versus just some kids.
Well, unless
their MLB pitch speed equivalent is 108 miles per hour. The kid flames out in high school. Turns out to suck. He ain't throwing 108.
Bob Baffert's going to tell you that they're the best chemically altered horses in the world.
Yeah.
BK, how good would you be if you played in the Little League World Series?
Right now?
Yeah.
Kick those kids' ass. They'd be screwed.
Actually, actually don't know that he would. I'm going to go ahead and say I think he'd struggle.
Come on, man. Can we test that?
Well, you
make
know
a
what?
Birth certificate and get me in the Little League World Series this year.
Okay, here's a better question for you, Brendan. BK would be more successful overall in the hot dog eating competition or in the Little League World Series? Because I think he's got a better shot eating hot dogs than he ever does even trying to get a base hit off a 12-year-old.
Firmly agreed.
I don't know that you could find the zone right now from a Little League distance.
Come on now.
I mean, you might look like Randy Johnson. I don't know that you could effectively be like Randy Johnson.
I didn't say I was going to pitch.
I'm saying I'd like to see it.
Put me at like first base or something.
You think you could go yard off a 12-year-old?
No question.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Those fences are like 140 feet.
That's what I mean. You think you could go yard? This is a man during crosstalk a week ago told us he can't remember the last time he sprinted. God forbid you hit
Well, when I hit home runs, I don't have to sprint. I'll try.
But God forbid it hits the top of the fence and you're sitting on first base, Jordan.
Yeah, it's fine with me.
Okay.
I'll do that. I ain't running.
The worst sporting event of the year, the Little League World Series.
Every year. And it's a bit that I think the country's in on to pretend that we like it to support.
So you're dialed into women's college softball?
More than that.
Really?
More than the Little League World Series. Not really dialed into either.
Okay.
But, again, they're good. I can just change the channel and watch, like, real baseball.
I'm going to have a programming schedule for overnights on ESPN2 to figure out how the hell you could put that over anything with the Little League World Series.
So no buy-in for me on the Little League World Series.
Shock.
There is some buy-in for the Texans this year, Joel.
Okay.
Feels like more than last year for the Texans. And it feels like this team is in a better spot. I think that's obvious. This team is in a better spot, and they're on the right path to get back to relevancy in the NFL. But just some of the things we've heard from veteran players, from new guys, they seem to be talking more about the buy-in. And it just feels like there's more positive vibes surrounding the Texans right now. Do you buy that? And why do you think that is the case, if you do?
I think they got better players in the locker room. I think that you can see now more so than just a plan on the wall or a whiteboard in Nick Castario's office. You can see the plan starting to come to fruition. You can see that there is a one-year leash on Davis Mills to be able to either put up or shut up. And then from there, evaluate where he's going to be, if he's going to be in their plans. But there is improvement at every skill position. There is improvement at every position group. There is improvement in the coaching staff, whether that was your doing or not. So I think that as it goes to where we were a year ago and where we are at this time, the fact that you can see positive steps taking this team closer to the right direction gives you hope.
Yeah.
You hear Brandon Cooks talk about it after practice. Look, that's why we're all here. That's why 90%+ of the guys are at this voluntary minicamp, because the receivers need reps because they want to get better. The guys are looking around them and realizing there's really true competition at the offensive line. That's why that's why guys that are going to be here long term are participating in the program.
Yeah. Not everyone's bought in. Laremy Tunsil, Malik Collins didn't show up, and that's disappointing. Look, these are optional. That's the O and OTAs. But when you give those guys new contracts, you'd like for them to be there, and especially considering what Laremy Tunsil did to the team last year, you'd really like for him to show up. But I'm with you, man, and I think it's a combination of all the things that you just said. And also, there's still a lot of guys on one-year deals. Right? That was the case last year. That's still the case this year. Guys who are basically playing for their football lives, so they have to be bought in. But I think the guys like Lovie Smith, I think guys like Pep Hamilton, I think they also realize those dudes are qualified to be in the positions that they're in. David Culley wasn't qualified to be a head coach in the NFL. We all knew that from the outside. You know the professionals, the guys in the locker room who had to see that guy every day, knew it damn well, too. It's tough to buy into whatever the hell that guy was trying to say.
And I think a year ago, BK, the guys that you were bringing in free agency were guys that were, at best, trying to get you an extra panel on the bridge to take you where you're going to go.
Yeah.
Now, when you bring in a running back like Mac, you're trying to figure out, hey, guess what? This was a guy who was a starting running back on a team in the division that suddenly got bounced out of town because they had a higher draft pick that looked like he'd do more things. But if he can find it, he's a better running back than you had on your roster a year ago, and there's nothing to say that he can't be a running back for you for the next couple of years at a very reasonable price. You're looking at more guys now that, instead of, as we like to call them, the fighting Burkheads, which are over the hill hoping to find one last chance veteran guys, to guys that maybe either were not welcome anymore where they were doing things, or were drafted into the wrong system to where No matter how highly they were rated, they didn't perform. But there's still an opportunity for them to prove they belong. And if they do, they could be here for a while. That's more encouraging.
That's it, right? They're not the Fighting Rex Burkheads this year. They got younger, of course, through the draft, but also through some of the trades and free agency moves that they made as well. And look, Deshaun Watson not being here, I think, is a weight off. I think that's a relief for everybody. And the players are smart enough to know. Like, they were just killing time, like Clint Black last year.
Yeah.
They couldn't really do anything. Now the rebuild can actually start, which I think create some more buzz and excitement and buy-in.
Yeah, I mean, we're done with the Woodheads and the Burkheads, and now we're actually on to actually trying to construct top to bottom the anatomy of a football team and getting some younger, better players to take you where you need to go. And that's why it was so difficult for everybody to stomach a year ago, because they knew they weren't going anywhere. Yep. And the writing was on the wall, just like Caserio's press conference. We didn't need Nick Caserio to tell us it's not about wins and losses this year, because we saw who you were bringing in and the roster you were developing. Now you look at the roster and going, hey, Mechie could be a guy that could be here impactfully for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And go up and down the draft picks going, these are guys I'm excited to see. Coaches, same way. I want to see Pep Hamilton's offense. I want to see Lovie get another shot as a veteran, you know, coach. You weren't saying that a year ago when you wanted to see what the next gaffe was going to be from your head coach that looked like he was so over his head, he was drowning.
Mm-hmm. No longer one of the oldest rosters in the NFL.
That's fantastic.
Which, like you said, made no sense last year. They're getting younger, which I think is a good thing as they start this rebuild. He's Joel. I'm BK in for Jeremy Branham. When we come back, we'll shift gears. The NBA playoffs. Playoffs are always good, but these playoffs have been disappointing. Is this the worst NBA postseason we've had in a long, long time? Joel and I will debate next on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about my bookie. I've been telling you about him for quite a while. If you want to put some money on games and you want to make even the most boring sport, I don't think you can bet on Little League Baseball, but you can make even the most boring sport more exciting because you got some money riding on it. You got a chance to win some scratch. You go to mybookie.ag. Simply put, they have all the boxes checked as to why they're the only place you should go if you want to put some money down and make a game more interesting, because they take care of their customers. If you win, they're going to pay. Your money is safe and secure. You can pay from crypto to a credit card, however you wish, to get your account rolling. And when you get that account rolling right now, or if you've had an account and you want to keep adding to it, there is a bonus waiting for you. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, and under the bonuses section, you can put in the code BET975. When you put in that code, you are going to get a bonus. If you are a first-time subscriber, you're going to get an initial sign-up bonus. If you get a renewal bonus, it's because you've been there and done that before and you're going to do it again. But with that code BET975, you're going to have more money in your account because they're going to give you a bonus, which means more games to bet on and more chances to win. And it's not just about 162 games of Major League Baseball. It's all about the NBA playoffs. It's soccer, MMA, live in-game betting for chances to kind of recoup some cash if you're down a little bit, and all the other prop bets that you're excited and interested in as well. They take care of you, they take care of the sports, and they make it fun on a daily basis. It's the only place you should put money down. You can bet anywhere, anytime, any place, with the only place I tell you to go, mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Who would you rather watch, a Little League World Series team or the Houston Texans? Apparently is the debate.
You're getting killed on the text, man.
Going on right now. Yeah. Why? Everyone loves the Little League World Series. Go ahead, choose the Little League World Series over Major League Baseball. I'm sure all of you do that.
People constantly pretend kids doing anything is entertaining. Any kid's act on a TV talent show is always mediocre and only on TV because it's kids. Okay, I'll have that one go in BK.
Bingo.
I'll take Little League World Series over the Texans any day.
Hmm. Come on.
I guess some people don't think they've made progress based on that.
That guy's not bought in. Some of the players might be more bought in.
And here's the most interesting one of all. And Robert and Tom Ball says, my son is in a 10 and under league. Most fences are 275 at their shortest spot.
That's not.
And I challenge BK to take one at bat from a random travel team's best pitcher, and I bet he strikes out because I know I would.
Mm.
Travel team 10 and under?
That hurts, man. What are they throwing these days, those 10-year-olds?
First of all, I'm completely baffled every time I see kids in the Little League World Series snapping off benders that break about 2 feet. Because as the we were told that was the biggest taboo growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, until, you know, you went through puberty, the biggest thing that you could do to screw up your entire baseball career would be to start snapping off breaking pitches. Not that we weren't doing it every day anyway, but that's what we were told not to do. Now coaches are actually coaching them up on their breaking pitches.
Oh, yeah, kids are getting Tommy John at 14.
Well, they could. I mean, I don't know if they – I mean, because we were throwing – everything they said not to do, of course, we were doing. Don't throw a tennis ball. Threw it every day. Mm-hmm. Then we went to the – we would actually go and find the hard rubber ball because it felt more like a baseball. And then we called it strikeout. You just put a box on the wall of the school, and you judged what a single, double, triple would be.
Yeah.
And it was one-on-one baseball, and we played every day. I didn't get 5 days rest in an ice pack, you know, and had to do long toss in between. We were just throwing every day.
Mm.
I know you were doing the same thing.
The dimensions at the Little League World Series, I just looked these up to make sure I didn't have this wrong. 225.
So if you're, to the outfield you mentioned fence. This, and maybe people, because obviously down here, it's one thing I really have an issue with.
Yeah.
I played four sports all the way through high school. We just went seasonally from sport to sport.
Sure.
And we felt like, you know, I think our parents felt like the hand-eye coordination, the skills that you were learning in one sport helped you in another sport. Here, it's like they make you choose by the time you're like not even 10 years old. It's like you play all these sports, but which one do you play the best? That's the only one you should focus on. And that's when you start getting into the select teams. Like, to me, that's a racketeering money thing, select teams. But maybe you and I were both out of the loop on this. I thought select teams still played at the same size fields as Little League, but you said maybe the select teams have bigger ballparks?
Yeah. I'll be honest.
I don't know.
I don't know if I could hit a ball 275 feet. I could hit one 225, which are the dimensions of the Little League World Series field, wherever the hell they play that thing.
Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
Williamsburg, Williamsport, whatever it is. 275, though. Yeah, I don't think I'm taking a 10-year-old.
Only weirdos and creeps watch the Little League World Series.
Mm.
Damn it, Killer Bees. And BK fits that mold. Now I have Eddie Grant's Electric Avenue stuck in my head. And BK can't speak the English language. Wow.
That hurts.
Why did we have to add that to the end of it? Put your name on it, not a zinger at the end.
What's the deal there?
Strongman is easily more entertaining than Little League. Okay, I disagree.
It's just the least entertaining televised sporting event of the year every year.
I had a buddy of mine that suddenly went from trying to make it on the PGA Tour to looking like a Czechoslovakian weightlifter. And I
big difference there.
He got a little offended that when last time he said he missed something, we were all going to get together. And I said, what were you doing trying to pull a semi with a mouthpiece in the parking lot? Because he got a little bigger. He didn't care for that too much.
I thought that was good. It was good. Something I normally enjoy watching, Joel, was the NBA playoffs. These NBA playoffs have not been all that entertaining.
At all.
Still postseason sports, so it's still intriguing. And there are storylines and there are reasons to watch. But, man, it's felt like we've had blowout after blowout after blowout in this NBA postseason, and that didn't change last night. Like, for a while, for the first 2.5 quarters, it felt like we were in store for a barn burner between the Heat and the Celtics in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals, but then Boston just pulls away. They double up the Heat in the third quarter, they go up by 15-plus, and they pretty much never look back, so this game was really not entertaining at all down the stretch, and that's been a theme in this series, and it feels like, Joel, that's been a theme throughout the entirety of this NBA postseason.
Yeah, it's very disappointing, BK. It might be, and Brendan and I were talking about this morning, this might be one of the worst NBA playoffs that I can remember. Because as you got deeper into the playoffs, you got better matchups. With better matchups, you had better players, better teams, and better outcomes of games that went down to the wire and gave you memories. There's no memories of anything other than catching some sleep earlier than normal when trying to watch one of these NBA games. Your Mavs are outmatched by the Warriors just because it's Luka against the world with a little help from Brunson. But that's not entertaining enough to keep me watching for four quarters because the games aren't close. You know, at any given time, the Warriors could just blow the doors off the Mavs.
Yeah.
On the flip side, the thing that's most frustrating to me is I've always been against load management anyway, but load management is so that you're ready for the biggest time of the year. Jimmy Butler, yet again, just like when he was all dinged up in the bubble when they made the finals against the Lakers, looks like he has no business playing, but at least he's trying. What frustrates me more are the guys that aren't. Tyler Hero's doing his best Ben Simmons, trying to look like he's got, you know, the latest fashions on last night instead of having a uniform on, trying to do his best to give his team an advantage to get to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
And you're going, dude, how dinged up are you? Because you were playing early in this series. It doesn't seem like it's anything that needs where you're limping and you can't walk. So what the hell gives? And you watch the level of play, too. If Kyle Lowry and Max Strus are your starting backcourt in an Eastern Conference Finals, and over the last two games you're 2-for-49, how the hell are you there?
Right.
It's not a good quality of basketball. The best players aren't playing. And it's just, it's like, it's a snooze fest.
Yeah. And look, to add some stats to that take, we've had 22 games in these playoffs where a team has won by 20-plus. That's the second most in a single postseason in the last 15 years. It's actually not the most, Joel. The most blowouts, 20-plus point margin of victory, was in 2016. 24 games were decided by 20 or more points. But, of course, we still have a couple of games in the conference finals, and we have the entirety of the NBA finals. So reason to believe that we're going to break that record here. I will say this, maybe a saving grace. Remember that 2016 postseason gave us one of the best NBA finals we've ever had.
In which just thinking that.
The Cavs came back
Boston
down.
And the Warriors, I think the one team that could give the Warriors problems is the Celtics, because offensively they're going to have to defend because you got Tatum and Brown and Smart from time to time, and you've got weapons. And you've got a big in Horford that can give Golden State some problems. From the other standpoint of it, with Golden State's well-oiled machine, you got guys that can match up on them as well. You can put Clay, with Clay, whatever he does. You can put Tatum on Clay. You can put Brown on Wiggins. You can put Marcus Smart on Curry. And you've got anybody that you want to guard that are versatile bigs that can guard. You can put Williams on Draymond.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have an evenly matched series, which maybe we'll get some close games to. But that's the only saving grace, is if the finals ends up to be halfway decent. Because remember, going in, everybody said, okay, we get it. The first couple of rounds aren't going to be great. But Phoenix, Golden State, got to see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was hopes that it was either going to be Brooklyn and Philly at some point, and then your Eastern Conference Finals was going to be Milwaukee and Brooklyn, or Milwaukee and Philly. And now you're looking at it going, God, who wants it less?
Well, even the long series have been lame, right? The Mavs-Suns, seven-game series. Hypothetically, that's awesome to get a series like that in the second round. It would seven blowouts.
Game seven, which you expect to be the creme de la creme of all sporting events, and it's a 40-point game.
At halftime.
It sucked.
Yeah.
It continues to suck. And I know that Adam Silver can't be happy about it, because the one thing, BK, that I'd also look at is, when I said this about load management or guys that are now suddenly sitting out, as much as people think it got more interesting at the start of the playoffs because of the play-in tournament, the one thing that people aren't factoring in is, it's not even from an injury standpoint. From a play-in tournament standpoint, it changes the time frame. So now, as much as we used to bitch about 3 and 4 days between games in a series, they would have been beneficial to these teams with these injuries, so guys would have been ready to play for their next game.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, because they're trying to condense it all so they still finish at the right time for the finals to be over by the third week in June, the draft the very next week, they can't do that unless there's tight turnarounds. And now you're taking the best players out of the possibility of playing games.
Yeah, it feels ridiculous that they need that much time off, but they might need that much time off to make the product little better.
As much as we bitched about it, there was method to the madness in saying, hey, you've worked all year to be in the biggest series of the year. If one of the best players in the series tweaks something, let's make sure he doesn't have to come back in 24 hours or 48 hours. Let's give him an extra day or so that at least we get better series and better games. That's not the case anymore.
We'll take your thoughts. 713-780-ESPN is the number. Is this the worst NBA postseason we've ever had? We want to hear from you. When we come back, we'll get back to the Astros. Look, the Astros have been playing some great ball as of late. They won another series last night. Are we concerned, though, that the Astros might be peaking too early? We'll get into that when we come back. It's the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you about Fitz Roofing for quite a while. Look, Corey's not only the owner, he's the vice president of the Houston Roofing Association. You don't get those kind of accolades unless you have the respect of your peers for knowing that you know your business and knowing that you're going to do a good job. That goes without saying at Fitz Roofing, because you can go to FITZroofing.com and see all the different ways they can help you. A lot of people don't realize Fitz Roofing also does home repairs, so you can put that on your list of the many reasons why you should call Fitz Roofing. They also do from a roof repair to a brand new roof on your home, your business, your commercial property. And more so than that, they put a fence in my yard about a month and a half ago. It looks absolutely beautiful. It raises the value of the property. And not a lot of people realize that they do fences, and they do them well. You can go to FITZroofing.com, see all the ways they can help you. But if you actually need help with something, this is the biggest benefit by going to Fitz. Call them at 832-521-3001. They'll come to you and tell you what they can do for absolutely free. That's right. There's no service charge, no mileage charge. They come to you and tell you how they can help, and then they go on with the rest of their day. You want them to come back, you just book the appointment before, during, and after the sale. They're the best in the business. They use the best products. They have the best warranties, and they also have the best ratings, starting with Facebook and Home Advisor and going down the list. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. It's FITZroofing.com or get that free no-obligation inspection. 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun.
ESPN 97.5. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Five-time world champion Gervonta Tank Davis defends his WBA lightweight title against number one-ranked contender Rolly Romero. Two undefeated fighters in a matchup for the ages. Live on pay-per-view this weekend, Saturday night, May 28th, 8 o'clock Central Time. Go to Showtime.com to order now. But speaking of right now, we're giving away a boxing glove signed by both fighters. Yeah, Tank Davis and Rolly Romero have signed a boxing glove that you can win right now. All you have to do is be caller number 6 to 713-780-ESPN. That's 713-780-3776. If you are the sixth caller, you're going to win that signed boxing glove from Tank Davis and Rolly Romero. Once again, the fight coming up this weekend. Go to Showtime.com to order now. Joel, a rare off day for the Houston Astros.
By the way, outstanding read of the promo.
Thank you very much.
You, like Jeff Bagwell, have taken to your role very well in reading promos.
I thought you were being nice.
I was being nice, but that's not something you normally do. Don't you leave it to the little redhead?
Yeah, the little redhead usually takes care of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought you did a nice job on that. Just like it completely took me by surprise to hear Baggy actually reading promos and doing a good job.
Yeah. I love when Baggy's calling games.
Man. I was going to say, I do too.
He's entertaining as hell. He gives you hilarious sound effects whenever things are going on the field, and his storytelling is spectacular.
Now, I've also been very clear in saying, and Blummer, friend of the show, friend, I've gotten to know him over the years. If he wasn't completely like paid because they weren't doing it the right way over there at the other AM station, so we couldn't interview him anymore, he'd still be on our show frequently.
Mm-hmm.
But he has upgraded what the new age in television announcers are supposed to be with analytics, with Twitter, getting everybody involved. So I don't want to get rid of Jeff Blum. I just like the extra element of having Baggy in there, like you said, for that story, that experience, that Hall of Fame kind of, you know, mentality sometimes in terms of how he breaks down what he's thinking when you're hitting and things like that. It's amazing.
I think both guys are great, but I like the rotation that they've kind of implemented.
I like Baggy both gets the booth at the same time.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, too. I think they do a great job. We're lucky in this town to get the crew that we get on the television side for the Astros. They do pretty spectacular work, all 3 to 4 of them in the pre- and post-game host as well, including our own Vanessa Richardson.
Vanessa, well done this last series.
Who's been crushing it over the last couple of days. Joel, an off day for the Stros.
Mm-hmm.
A rare off day for the Stros.
Very.
They're playing some damn good baseball as of late. They finished up the 33-game and 34-day stretch with a record of 23-10. That was the third best record in all of baseball over that time, behind only the Yankees and the Minnesota Twins, believe it or not. But the Astros did win a series against Minnesota during this run. They're playing some good baseball. The pitching staff has been spectacular. Second best team ERA in the league. It feels like the offense has turned a corner, and they're not quite the 2021 Houston Astros offense, but it feels like they're getting closer and closer to what we saw offensively a season ago. Playing pretty damn well as of late. Are you at all concerned that they might be peaking right now? And obviously, it's very early in the season.
I'm not. I think that if we had a situation where we felt like there weren't any areas that you could upgrade, there weren't any areas where you could be better, then I might be a little concerned that at a certain point, whether you build a big lead in the division or, you know, you kind of maximize where you are in the season and then suddenly it's all downhill from there, this team still has areas where they can improve. We know that my main focus has been the bullpen. And not just like certain guys as much as there was a confidence in a lot of the good Astros teams that when you got to the eighth and ninth, but even the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings, you knew guys that were, you knew your closer, you knew your setup guy, you knew your guy in the seventh inning, and you knew because of those three guys, you condensed the game and where you had to be at a certain point in the game. If you had a lead going into the seventh inning most times for the Astros during this run, you knew it was over. Now, aside from getting Presley back and seeing he's going to be your closer, and Neris being a guy that has been used all over the place but looks like he can be one of those guys, You don't know which Stanek you're going to get. You assume he could fill that seventh inning role again. And then from there, it's a crapshoot. So I know the bullpen can improve. I know that you scratched one potential concern off the list when Pena has been doing what he's been doing. But you look at catcher. You look at center field with the fact that even if Jake Meyers returns, is any one of those three guys ready to take the next step and be the consistent first guy? I don't think so. Siri's shown signs, but then he falls off. And we can go up and down the list in terms of they have their moments, but there's not a guy that you really feel like that's your starting center fielder. So I think that whether some guys that we've had on the show say, oh, you need to upgrade and get one more bat, you need to get one more starting pitcher, which I don't understand the people that have said that, but I do understand you need an extra arm or two, I think, in the bullpen is where I would start, and that's why I'm not worried about this team peaking too soon because they haven't peaked yet.
So I'm slightly worried about the starting pitching peaking too soon because the starting pitching has been spectacular. But the thing that gives me hope about the entire club not peaking right now is the offense. The offense, once again, they've started to turn things around. They're showing signs that they are the 2021 Astros offense, but this is still the 16th best offense in baseball in terms of runs per game. Last year, they were first. They had the best offense, the most productive offense in all of baseball in 2021. This year, they don't have that yet. Now, 3 weeks ago, they were in the mid-20s in terms of that stat. So once again, they're clearly trending in the right direction, but I'm not worried about this entire team peaking because I know this offense can be better,
yep.
And I know they will be better. And maybe it happens when Jake Meyers comes back, or maybe it happens when, you know, Yuli Gurriel figures it out a little bit.
Or Bregman continues on the role he's been going on.
Bregman.
I've been calling it Branham foot and mouth disease because whenever Branham puts foot in mouth by criticizing someone, normally they snap out of it. It started to happen with Yuli, but it started to happen with Bregman as well.
Trevor Story.
So, yeah, I mean, You look at this and you say, by next week when he starts criticizing Martin Maldonado and one of the center fielders, we should be in business to really see what this team can be.
He needs to keep criticizing.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, the eulogy was one thing because of his age, right? You factor in the age and say, at a certain point, does he hit that wall and never be able to get back? Mm-hmm. But you don't worry about Alex Bregman. You don't worry about Altuve being past his prime, another Branham favorite, where you look at it now and go, past what? Like, he got past an injury, and they haven't looked back. Like, he has been just absolutely annihilating and raking the rest of the league. So you look at it and say, that's another point. You're right. That's another area where they can get better.
No doubt about it. And I think they're going to bolster up their bullpen. I think they're going to add some pieces at the trade deadline to make their roster better, too. So I still think the best days for this Astros ball club are ahead of them. But
do you believe Yuli can... He's still going to find it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's going to be last year's Yuli. I don't think he's going to be competing for the batting title again this season, but I expect him to have an OPS over 700. I mean, he's around, what, 650-something right now? Like, I think he'll become more of an average hitter because he hasn't been that. Like, he's below league average in OPS right now,
but
so I think
also,
he'll be better than
that.
Like,
you don't want him to be Maldi at first base, right? Like, he's so good defensively scooping that you'll take whatever he gives you offensively. Like, you still have to get something from him. But then it behooves me to ask you the question on Maldi, like, is that your guy all year, or are you looking to upgrade the catcher position?
You can't have three of those guys in your lineup,
you got two.
Right?
I mean, no matter who's catching, you're basically writing off any kind of offensive help.
You know Jason Castro had his first RBI of the season last night?
That's Castro the Astro, folks, the guy you like seeing to come up in clutch situations.
Well, he was great in clutch situations last year. Yeah, ninth inning Castro was better than Babe Ruth in his prime, but that means he's on pace for four RBIs this season. I know he's not an everyday player, but he plays enough to where that's ridiculously
bad. And
Maldi
finally got over, what, 150?
He's not there yet. I don't think he's there yet.
I think he's over 150 now.
Oh, man. I'd be parading through the streets if that's
the
case.
Like, he wasn't even in triple digits for most of the start of the year.
No, he wasn't.
He had more bombs than he had base hits. Like, you know, just simple base hits.
You're rounding way up for
what's
Maldonado.
He hitting?
120.
Oh.
Which is maybe the highest he's been at this season.
It's really amazing, this team. When you talk about all the different things this team has been able to accomplish offensively, the fact that that has been your primary catcher for this many years, and yet they continued to do what they did. It's baffling that they can get that much without having a catcher that can hit.
They've had a pitcher batting for the last few years.
Yeah.
They really have. Thought they moved away from the NL, but that's what Maldonado has been. And I'm going to love when a new catcher comes in and he throws a base runner out trying to steal second. Other people can do that too, guys. You can hit and also play defense.
I'm telling
you,
man.
It's not one or the other, fellas and ladies.
My pipe dream for a move for this team is if Salvador Perez was catching for this team.
Could you imagine?
If Sal Perez was catching, you wouldn't worry about what Correa used to do offensively or what Pena's doing. You would see this team take it to another level in terms of an offensive unit. He hits for power. He hits for average. He's the guy that can still throw runners out. He can manage that pitching staff. He's bilingual. He's all the things that you're sitting there saying, as an Astros catcher, this is what you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he would absolutely, I think he'd be the perfect fit.
One of the best, if not the best, though, in baseball. No doubt about that. We'll take your thoughts. 713-780-ESPN. Are you worried about the Astros peaking too early? We want to hear from you. When we come back, more on the Stros. Take a look at the American League West. How do we view this division right now? Plus, a really surprising element of this division race that I don't think anybody saw coming. We'll get into that next. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, another mention from my bookie. Look, with a big weekend coming up, the Memorial Day weekend, lots of sports, lots of opportunities to bet. The only place I encourage you to do that is mybookie.ag, because your money is safe and secure. They take care of their customers. A lot of times they run promos where it doesn't cost you anything to get in on the action, but if you win, you're going to get paid. When you get paid, you can get it out and get the money you need if you need it. Anytime you want to get it, you can get it. That's because they take care of their customers. You can pay with a credit card or crypto or however you wish to, because they want to make it easy for you to get in, and they want to make sure it's a safe environment where you get the most out of your betting experience. Because let's be honest, when you're betting, a lot of times it's to make the most uninteresting game more interesting. It's to make whatever game's on TV when the Astros aren't playing something that you'd actually like to pay attention to. So you put money down on it, and when you go to mybookie.ag, they take care of you. Right now what they're doing is taking care of you with a bonus. If you're a first-time subscriber to MyBookie, when you sign up for the first time, and it's free, you're going to find out that they're going to give you an initial subscriber bonus. So that means from the first time you sign up, they're going to give you some extra coin in your account. You got more money in your account, more games to bet on, more chances to win. If you're a returning customer, same thing. They're going to give you a return bonus. And when you get that return bonus, it's extra coin to play with, so there's extra games you can bet on and more chances to win. They take care of every step of the way, including almost every sport out there. That means the MMA, the NBA playoffs, the golf, all the different soccer, and of course, all of the baseball games are there for the taking. And you can also get in-game bets and prop bets that make everything a little more entertaining. Check them out today. It's mybookie.ag. Put in the promo code BET975. BET975. That's the only way to get that bonus. But if you do that, put that promo code in, you are going to reap the benefits. And it's just another reason why I tell you the only place that you can bet anywhere, anytime, any place is mybookie.ag.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.